The Sniffer.
It's Sniffy McBond.
It's Nora non-Sniffy. Kathy, I don't know why you're laughing.
I'm always laughing.
A very serious topic to talk about today.
I know.
You scared the boots off me with this story.
Have you heard of a phrase called peak oil?
Peak oil. I think this is another one of these kind of meme things. I'd never heard of peak oil, and then I started hearing about it in August, and suddenly it's everywhere. Peak oil, peak oil, peak oil.
Yep. The first time I read about it was an article in Rolling Stone back in March. It scared me so bad. I read half of it, and I was reading it on the can in the bathroom, and I pulled my pants up and went running down from the apartment, down the hall, and threw it out in the recycle. It said, like, be gone, Satan, from my eyes.
Denial. That's a good
Total
strategy.
Total denial. And then I also heard about it from my broker when he was talking about it as well. So you know okay. When you're hearing about it from, and then also Rabble Podcast Network, Rabble Radio, which is sort of more of an alternative thing. So I thought, okay, it's coming from everywhere. Okay, well, it's basically, there's so much oil that the earth has always had. And right now we're at the point, we're at the peak. We have mined half of it. And the first half of the oil that's in the earth, that was the easiest to get at, and that was the best oil. It was what they call sweet oil. From here on, it's going to be harder to get at. It's going to be dirtier. We're going to have much more refining costs, and the prices are going to skyrocket. Make no mistake about what it's going to cost to live in the future.
So the thing that's so scary about this is because we've been hearing, I mean, ever since I was a little kid, about fossil fuels will run out and so on. But what they're basically saying is not that you need to run out of the oil, but that you just have to get on the downside of the bell curve, basically, before the oil is so much more expensive and hard to retrieve that it has huge implications for the way that we live and the mm-hmm. fact that our entire economy essentially is based on oil production, and not just transportation, not just heating, but also things like plastics and pesticides.
Factory farming, mm-hmm. how we eat. You know, it'll cost so much more to do everything.
But I mean, one of the things that's a bit tricky about it too is that it's hard to figure out exactly where it is. Like some sources are suggesting that peak oil is basically now, mm-hmm. and then a number of credible sources, like the Association for the Study of Peak Oil and Gas, says they're thinking 2010.
That's another one.
Some super optimists, like in the U.S. government, are saying as far ahead as 2037 or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
but that's the very, very
that's
far, far
the
end.
Absolute yeah. farthest point is there's 25 years from now, and then they're talking about we'll be entering something called the period of regression, the regression period,
which sounds bad.
Yeah. We will not be driving to Walmart. We will not be just endlessly consuming things. But
the thing that I find both interesting and scary about it is that the peak oil people are saying that even if we start developing things like hydrogen and bioethanol and wind turbines and stuff, it's not enough just to say we're going to replace this with alternative fuel sources. Mm-hmm. It means we have to restructure our whole way of thinking about the economy, because things like wind turbine are never going to produce enough.
Yeah.
I mean, even if there's a wind turbine on every single property.
But still, you know, those are the naysayers who are going, oh no, it's just all doom and gloom. But I still say, like, right now, what's wrong? Okay, if wind and solar is good locally, let's do it. Let's get those things up and running. So that what about nuclear? You know, like I thought Dalton McGuinty was like crazy when he put all that money, at least in Ontario, back into the nuclear power plants. And now I can see why, because I think when they've been having these big seminars, they've seen the writing on the wall, and now just it's starting to leak into the popular conscience.
Even if you can't replace all of the oil and natural gas consumption with things like hydrogen and wind turbines and so on, it's obviously going to help ameliorate things, which I think is part of what's driving the whole increase in the cost and the appetite for alternative fuels, is because everybody is kind of thinking, holy crap, we better get on board this.
But what is really, like, you think, okay, well, if we're halfway there, you know, we've enjoyed a couple of hundred years so far, so maybe we've got another couple of hundred years. Not with China and India on board, not with the kind of needs that they have. You've got like 1.3 billion people in China alone. You've got a middle class that wants, what do they want? They want cars.
Yeah, well, and I mean, even then, like, their industrial production alone is eating up huge amounts of oil. But part of me thinks, like, would it really be that bad? I mean, admittedly, there'd be this huge disruption. But if what it means is that we can't go on despoiling the planet, we can't go on consuming endless amounts of crap. And we have to actually return to a more hyper-localized economy. We have to return to
farming.
Many more people being involved in agricultural production. Like that's maybe what, that's actually the only way to save our lives at the end of the day.
It would be. It would be. People, but it would be much simpler agriculture than what we become accustomed to, you know, and people and a lot more physical work than we become accustomed to. And things, it was funny because these people, they say things like physical work and agriculture are not things that we think of in terms of progress. And I thought, well, what is your idea of progress, buddy? Like the ability to be able to shop endlessly?
You know, yeah. Like, or the ability not really to be able to breathe the air, right? I mean,
yeah.
that's my point, is like if the oil economy is actually leading us to a point where we're actually killing ourselves,
yeah.
then, you know, maybe this, I mean, painful, no doubt,
and,
but maybe it's not the
and,
worst thing.
And it was funny, you know, after, because I was really panic-stricken after I read these bunch of these things. I really was. I thought, oh, no, I'm going to starve to death and everything. But then I started thinking about it, and I started talking to some farmers, and they told me, and also in Europe as well, something, they've got these huge new furnaces now. They're like sheds that are outside of your house. They wouldn't be very good for people in the city, but for rural people, they're like a shed, and you're situated about maybe 30 feet from your house, and you make a trench, then you just put like ductwork, mm-hmm. and you can burn anything in there. You can burn corn, you can burn green wood, you can put, and they're also incredibly efficient. They were using them in Scandinavia and Germany, and you can like put like two logs in there, and it'll burn your house for the whole day.
It'll
heat your house. That's right.
After that. Yeah. And presumably it's clean burning or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Well, let us know what you think about peak oil.
Please.
Find out more information at peakoil.net.
I'm Kathy.
I'm Nora.
Don't
Send
panic.
Us an email. The sniffer at technologian.org.
Bye.
Bye.